Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf nun vav. We're going to pick up on daf nun hey, amud beis. We left off maybe like 17 lines up from the bottom or so. So we were talking about the question was, if you had something blocking the door, is that a problem? And we said that we had these shnei pishpishin, which were that were in the Beis HaKhalifa. So the Beis HaKhalifa is, according to the way we're understanding right now, is the areas, basically, if you see that little chart there, the ulam extends to either side of the heichal, and then there's the whole area, which is back alongside the heichal, behind the heichal, along the side of the heichal. So the two sides alongside the heichal are called the Beis HaKhalifa. That's where the knives were kept. Some understand that the area that the ulam extends beyond the heichal is also called that, but for our purposes, the way I think Rashi learns right now is that it's the areas on the right and left, if you're looking at this chart, and the right and left of the heichal. And so the question was that it said they had these little doorways in there, and the purpose of those doorways, they opened up to the back of the Beis HaMikdash complex, so that you could see the back of the right and left of the heichal, that by opening up the doors, and according, as I said yesterday, according to this Man D'Amar, the ulam is kepesach o'amoid. So as long as you had these little openings going, like where those words pishpesh are on either side of the ulam, so you had a little door opening there, like where, let's say, where the right there, and that enabled you to consider the area on the right and left of the heichal to be Pesach HaMoed, and therefore you're able to shecht there. Now, the Gemara's question came from the fact as follows, that it says that they had something 8 amos there. Wasn't it some kind of blockage in front of those little doors, the pishpishin, the pishpish is each door? Wasn't there some kind of blockage that was 8? So the Gemara said, no, when it said 8, it means that the doorway itself was 8. So then the Gemara says, but I'll ask you a question. It tells you that all of the doors of the Beis HaMikdash were 20 amos by 10 amos. So how could you say that there was an 8 amos door? So we say, Pishpishin Shani, that these little doors were different because their purpose wasn't really to be a doorway. Their purpose was to open up an opening so that from the ulam, there's an opening to those areas on the right and the left of the heichal, such that you would be able to bring the karbanos then. So now the Gemara says v'ha'ikat stadin. So if you look, so even if it's true that you opened up these doors on the back, like where those words pishpish are written, so that covers you for everything that's on the right and left of the heichal. But what about the right and left of the actual ulam? Why? Because from the front entrance to the ulam, like if you're going into the Beis HaMikdash, you go into the ulam and then from there into the heichal. So from the front entrance of the ulam, you catch everything that's going this way. From the pishpishim, you catch everything that's beyond the ulam. But the ulam itself, to the right and left of the ulam, is not Pesach HaOmoed, because you can't see the front door of the ulam, because you're on the side of the ulam, and you can't see those pishpishim that open up to everything on the right and left behind the ulam. So alongside the ulam itself, you have the sides, and those aren't covered. So the Gemara says, the mayal lahu bekaren zavis. So what we say is that when we said these pishpishim open up, it's not just that they open up to the back, to the right and the left of the heichal, but exactly where would the door be? It would be on a slant, right at the right angle, where the back right angle of the ulam. So then what happens? So if you open the door there on the angle, A, you could see backwards. Let's say we're taking the side in this graph to the right of the heichal, which would be the north. So by putting it on the edge of the right angle of the ulam, so you pick up that area in the back, the pishbeish, and then because it's on a slant, so then there's a little piece, part of the doorway is on the side of the ulam. And so therefore, by opening the doorways here, you cover, in other words, let's say the one we're talking about, that tzafon. So because it's on a slant, you cover everything that's here that's alongside the heichal, and you also cover the things that are alongside the ulam because it opens at a slant. So the Gemara says, achure beis hakapores mai. So we've covered the front of the azara because you stand at the doorway to the ulam and you're covered there. You cover the sides of the ulam and everything that's along the right and left sides of the heichal and beyond. because those are covered by the Pishpashim. But what about behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Because that's not covered by the front door, and it's not covered by these Pishpashim, because this is the area that you would not see from the Pishpashim, because it's behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, Damar Rami Bar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Lul Katan Haya Achuri Beis HaKaporas, Gavoa Shmona Amos. Well, they take out the words, Gavoa Shmona Amos, but that there was this little opening that was basically in the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The way it worked was that there was behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was a little space called the Ta. It was a small room, and they had an opening that went from the Kodesh HaKadoshim through the Ta and out the back, right? So then what did it do? Obviously, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is considered part of, if the Ulam is considered enough that that's Pesach HaMoed, then from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it should too. So you basically had an opening, a little opening that went through the back of the Beis HaMikdash from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, through the Ta, and came out in the area behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's how you covered that, which made it Pesach Ol Moed, because there was an opening to the Ol Moed, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. So the Gemara says, and I said this was Kedei Lahachshir Hazara Lachias Kodesh Kodeshim L'Shchitas Kodeshim Kalim, and that was the whole point of this, was to say that you should be able to eat there, and that you should be able to shecht Kachim Kalim there. Rashi points out that we're going to change a little bit of that later, but okay, we'll deal with that when we get there. Mahainu Dechsiv, and they bring a pasuk that says Shnayim Lepar Bar. So what is this? This is a pasuk in Divrei Yamim, and it says Lepar Bar Lemarav Arba Lemesila Shnayim Lepar Bar. So he says as follows. That this is, as Rashi points out, these are in the psukim mishtoi b'mispar hashomrim she'emidu b'mishkan. It's counting the number of watchers or guards they had in the mikdash l'chol apsachim, for each of the door. And it says v'kamer shnei shomrim hemidu lebar or leparbar v'hainu l'osou. He says that this was these two guards. Why were they there? Because they needed a guard to every opening into the Beis HaMikdash, and here you had this opening that went straight through from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And you see from the pasuk there in Divrei Hayamim that there were guards put there. So obviously there was an opening there. What was the point of that opening? The point of that opening was so that you could call a Pesach Ol Moed, and therefore so that you can shecht everywhere. My lepar bar, amar Rabba bar Rav Shilo, k'man d'amar klape bar. It's opposite the outside, meaning this is covering the area that's outside or the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what we have here is we basically have determined that the entire complex, the entire area of the Beis HaMikdash over there, was covered that you could shecht karbanos. Why? Because from the ulam looking out, you could see everything that in this picture is to the east of the ulam. The sides of the ulam and the back sides are considered covered by the pishpishim, and the lul that looked out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim covers the area that's directly behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, everything was covered that you could shecht kachim kalim there. Okay, so I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We're going to get back to this, but now we're on to a slightly new topic. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Ein chayav mishum tuma ela al orach meo ushmonu mesheva al roichav meo ushloishim mechamesh. So he says as follows, that as relates to tuma. So obviously if someone is tuma, they cannot come into the Beis HaMikdash complex. So they're saying this entire area that we've been talking about, that includes the Azara and includes the power bar, that's the guards, but the back over there and everything, all of this was 187 by 135 amos. Okay? And that's the area, if you come in there, that if someone comes in when they're tameh, that they're chayav for coming into the Beis HaMikdash b'tumah. Tani Tana Kamei de Rav Nachman. Tana learned in front of Rav Nachman. Kol ha'azara, same halacha. Kol ha'azara ha'isa kuf pei zayin ha'roich of kuf lamed hei. That the azara was 187 by 135. Amar lei, so Rav Nachman said to him, Amar li Abba, my father told me, kigonze, meaning these measurements, kohanim nechnasim l'sham, the kohanim go there va'ochlim sham kadshei kadashim, they can eat their kadshei kadashim. So in the entire azara, In that entire complex area, you could eat kachay kadoshim. V'shalchetim sham kachim kalim. You can shech kachim kalim there, because we just discussed this, that everything in that area was considered Pesach HaOmoed, whether because the Ulam entrance, the Pishpishim entrance, or the Lul entrance covers all of them. V'chayavim mishum tumah, and their chayav mishum, and their chayav for tumah within that area of the 187 by 135. So this is a positive statement. It's saying that in that area, you could eat, you could shecht, and they're chayav in tumah. Lumiyute mai. So the Gemara is saying, okay, what was he coming to with this statement? He was saying, these are all the things you can do. It implies that there are certain things you can't do. Or there are certain areas that there is no tumah there. I'm sorry. So when it says the tumah is in the 187 by 135, that's implying that elsewhere it is not considered a problem to come there if these tamei. So lemiute mai, what's it coming to include? Exclude. I'm sorry. Ilema, if you're going to say lemiute chalonos delasos vuve achoma. So maybe you'll tell me that it's coming to tell you that the actual courtyard area, the 185 by 135, is coming to tell you that's the actual area. But let's say you have windows, or you have the thickness of the walls. What's the significance of the thickness of the walls? Rashi says if you're on top of the wall. So the question is, does the Kedusha extend into the windows? So let's say there's a window. So there's some thickness of the wall. Can someone whose Tameh reach in there? So you might think that it's coming to tell you the Tumah problem is only in the 187 by 135, and therefore the thickness of the walls or the windows would not be Tameh. It's not a problem for someone to come in who's Tameh. So the Gemara says, Tanina, but we learned the opposite in a Mishnah. We learned Hachalonos, the windows, v'uve achoma, and the thickness of the walls, kilifnim, they're like the inside of this entire complex, and therefore you're not allowed to come. You're not allowed to come there if you're tameh. So what is it coming to exclude when it says 187 by 135? Elu lumute lishkos. So we're coming to exclude. We actually had this yesterday. We talked about the tzidet stadim. So we said that Pesach HaOmoed tells you that you could shecht immediately in front of the door. We had those psukim that came to add things. One of the psukim added the sides. So anywhere you look out on, not just directly in front of the Pesach HaOmoed. And then we said, what's it coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude the tzidet stadim, which we said that was according to one view. The other view said you didn't need a pasuk for it, but to tell you that those lishkos, those rooms that surrounded, that were off of the kodesh, but they, we're going to say, that they don't have the same kedusha as the rest of the complex. So maybe it was coming to exclude that. So, but what rooms are you talking about? If you're talking about the one, v'ibenuyas b'chol upsuchos l'kadosh, you're talking about the ones that are built in the space that's chol, meaning it's out of the 187 by 135, but it opens onto it. So you might be telling me that that is not included for purposes of tumah. So that's why when it tells us these areas are covered for purposes of eating and shechting and tumah, it's coming to exclude. These areas are covered, but the area, the rooms that open onto this area are not covered. V'hatanam, but we learned in a Mishnah, tochan kodesh. So the Mishnah, I think in Meiser Sheni, the Mishnah of Meiser Sheni tells you that inside these rooms that were off of the courtyard area is kodesh. So we just finished saying that maybe the exclusion is to tell you that these rooms are not kodesh, but we see from the Mishnah in Meiser Sheni that they are kodesh. So the Gemara says midrabanan. They're only kodesh midrabanan. So what does that mean? They're kodesh midrabanan means that it's not really part of the kedusha of the courtyard. But what does it mean? It's kadosh derabanan. It means that the rabbanan said, treat it as if it's the Beis HaMikdash, such that you would not come there in a status of tumah. Why did they do that? Because since these areas were open onto the area that was kadosh, so the concern was if you come into them, even though they don't have kedusha deraisa of the Beis HaMikdash area, but since they open to the Beis HaMikdash area, if you're in there, you might come into the primary area of the Beis HaMikdash, the 187 by 135. And that would be a problem because he'd be coming into the Beis HaMikdash in Betumah. So the Gemara says, so you're telling me that that only the actual courtyard is kadosh, and the extra rooms around the side are only the rabbanon. V'de'araisa lo, is it true that midaraisa those are not considered kadosh, and it's only midrabbanon? V'atanya, but we learned in a braisa lishkos benuyos b'chol upsuchos kadosh. If you have these rooms that are built in an area that's not kadosh, but it opens to the kadosh, meaning it opens to the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. Minayin shakonim nechnasim l'sham va'ochlim sham kadshei kadoshim. How do you know that the kohanim can go in there and eat kadshei kadoshim, meaning in these extra rooms? V'shiyare mincha, and leftovers of mincha, and there is those things are kadosh kadoshim. Mincha is kadosh kadoshim. Talmud lomar. Therefore, it says b'chatzar o amod yochluhu. A Torah ribso chatzeros harbe. The pasuk says that you should eat it in the Ohel Moed, in the chatzer of the Ohel Moed. So you see that the Torah added multiple chatzeros. So I'm sorry. A Torah ribso chatzeros harbe etzel achila achas. Some take out the shita takes out the word achas, but it says that you see that the Torah added many chatzeros as it relates to achila. What is that talking about? So actually, you need to see the part of the pasuk that's not quoted here. So the pasuk says, Vanoseres mimenu yochlu Aaron uvanov, that the whatever was left over from it, Aaron and his sons would eat. Matzos teochel, they would eat the matzos. Bimakom kodesh, bachatzar o amoid yochluhu. It says, in a holy place, in the courtyard of the o amoid, you would eat it. So the question is, if you're trying to tell me that you could eat it in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, so just say b'chatzar ol moed yochlu, eat it in the ol moed. So why did it say b'makom kadosh, in a holy place, on earth, right? So therefore, the Gemara says that the Torah is counting multiple chatzeros, i.e., two, meaning I'm saying you have two references. You have the ol moed directly, and you have the extra word b'makom kadosh in a holy place. Comes to tell you that there's more places you can eat than just the Ohel Moed itself. Because if it was just the Ohel Moed, it would say Ohel Moed. The fact that it says the Makom Kadosh in a holy place tells you that there's some place other than the Beis HaMikdash, other than the actual courtyard complex that you can eat. So it's coming to tell you that you can eat in these rooms on the side. So now what's the problem? Because we just finished saying that Midaraisa, these rooms are not, they're chol, they're not Kadosh, right? And we were saying it's only the Rabbanan that they said don't come in there when you're Tameh. But now we have a problem because we learned that you can go eat Kadshei Kadoshim there. Now what's the problem with that? Because if Minat Torah, this is not considered part of the Beis HaMikdash, then you're taking Kadshei Kadoshim outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's outside of the part where you're supposed to have it. So that's a big problem. So the Gemara says, Amarava la'achilo shani, aval inyan tuma lo. He says, no, you're right. The eating is different, meaning because the Torah wrote an extra pasuk that told you you could eat in those places, so then you could eat in those places even though otherwise you would say you can't eat there. So the reason you eat there is not because they're kadosh. They're not kadosh. They're only kadosh darabanan. But you're entitled to eat there just like you could eat in the courtyard complex because the Torah was telling you you eat in the courtyard complex or these rooms that are off of it. But that doesn't mean that it's a makam kadosh and that therefore it would have tumah, that tumah would be a problem in the midaraisa. It's only the rabbanon, right? So therefore, we're still okay saying that why were they coming to tell us what you could do in the 187 by 135? It was saying there you could do it, you could come, there you cannot come when you're tumah, but you could come to the rooms when you're tumah. Even though those rooms themselves can get eaten kadshei kadoshim there, but they're not kadosh, they're still chol. The Gemara says, well, Tanya, I have a problem with that. It says, Braisa, Lishkos Habnuyas Chol, Upsuchos the Kodesh, that these same rooms that are built in the Chol and open to the Kodesh, Kohanim Nechnasim Sham Va'ochel and Sham Kadeshe Kadeshim, that the Kohanim can eat Kadeshe Kadeshim there, Ve'ein Shochatim Sham Kachim Kalim, they cannot Shecht Kachim Kalim, V'chayavim Mishum Tuma, and they're Chayav Mishum Tuma. So let's walk through this. So the fact that they could eat Kadeshe Kadeshim there, that's not surprising, because we said that the Torah added Makom Kadosh to tell you that you could eat in these rooms, even though it's outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the courtyard complex. Okay, so now, why can't you Shech Kachim Kalim there? We learned that yesterday, because these are Tzidei Tzadim, these are the sides of the sides, because we included the sides, which is like the diagonals, whatever you could see from the door. But these things are Tzidei Tzadim, the sides of the sides. So that makes sense why you can't Shech Kachim Kalim in these rooms. But The Braisa continues, it says, Chayavan alei mishum tuma, you're chayav from tuma. Now what does the word chayav mean? Chayav means that you have to bring a chatas if you come there betuma. Now, if that's chol minatorah, right? So then if you came in there when you're tuma, you don't owe a chatas. And if you're gonna bring a chatas, then you're bringing chul and bazara. That's a problem. So clearly, midaraisa, you're chayav mishum tuma. So the Gemara says, Lav Amrit ain shochetin, tini nami ain chayavin. He's saying, no. Change the girsa. Just like we say you can't shecht kachim kalam there, why can't you shecht kachim kalam there? Because it's not part of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not part of the courtyard complex. So therefore, tumah is not a problem either. Minatorah, you're not going. The fact that it says chayavin mishum tumah, that you're chayav mishum tumah, we say, no, that's a mistake. Take out the word chayav and say ain chayavin, that you're not chayav mishum tuma, because at the end of the day, this is not the Beis HaMikdash, the courtyard complex itself, and the only thing you're able to do in those rooms is eat. You cannot shecht kachim kalin, because it's tzidei tzadim, and you're not chayav for tuma if you go in there minat Torah, only the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, hold on one second, you're telling me that just like you can't shecht kachim kalim, so too, it's not a problem to go in there if you're tummy. But the Gemara says, so you're saying, just like one, so change the language to match the other, to treat it as if it's not Kodesh. But the Gemara says, but wait, I have a good rationale for why you are not allowed a Shech Kachim Kalim, even if you say that it's Kodesh. So, but that doesn't mean you should change the Halacha by Tumma. Why? Because Bishloma ain't Shochetin. When it says that you can't shecht kachim kalim there, it's not saying it's not kadosh. It's just saying ba'ina kineged pesach v'leka. You need that. It needs to be opposite the pesach olamoid. We had a pasuk that came to include anything on the sides of the olamoid, but not the tzidet stadim, not these little rooms. So that's the reason you can't shecht there. Not because it's the reason you can't shecht there is not because it's not kadosh. It's just because that's not considered pesach olamoid. Kineged the pesach olamoid. Ela ein chayavim, but to say that they're not chayav for tumah, amai? Why? In other words, you're assuming basically you have an area that you're allowed to eat there, which implies that it's kadosh. Now that's because the pasuk added. You're not allowed to shecht there because it's not because it's chol, but because it's tzidei tzadim. It's not pesach olamoid. So why are you assuming that we should change the language of the braisa to say that you're not chayav for going in there betumah? It seems like the language was probably right. You are chayav for going betumah because maybe it's kadosh, and you're saying it's only kadosh drabanan. So the Gemara says, ulataimech ein shochatin milo askinon deika shchita keneged pesach. So he says, hold on one second. You're assuming that it makes lots of sense to say that you can't shecht kachim kalim there. Why? Because this is tzidet stadim, and therefore it's not keneged pesach olamoid. So what the Gemara is going to say now is, I'll give you a case where it is keneged pesach olamoid. Let's say you are dealing with one of these rooms. In other words, what was the problem with these rooms? Is we said it's tzidet stadim. First of all, it's to the side of the pesach olamoid, and then that area is covered, but then it's to the side of the side, right? But what would happen if you had one of these extra rooms directly opposite the Pesach HaOmoed, or the Pishpesh, or one of these openings, right? So then it's not Tzidet Stadim anymore, because how did we decide these rooms were Tzidet Stadim? Because we said, first of all, it's not opposite the door, and you have the directly opposite the door, you have the expanded area, and then you have these rooms. So you say Pesach HaOmoed is primary space, the next space is Stadim is the sides, and the rooms are Tzidet Stadim, double sides. But what happens if one of these rooms was directly opposite one of the doors, right? So then it's not tzidet stadim. It's not double sides because it's directly opposite the Pesach HaOmoed. Now, granted, you have the area across from the door. That would be the primary area Pesach HaOmoed. And then the room comes, and that's just tzidet HaOmoed. So really, in that case, you would say that you should be able to that should be an area where you could shecht kachim kalim. And yet the Gemara is saying that there it still says you don't shecht, right? And because we're stating a categorical rule here that you cannot shecht in these rooms. So he says, the ileka, because if you'll tell me that we're not dealing with a case where it's that, where it's covering also a case that it's directly opposite the Pesach Olmoid, and that's permitted, lamai itzrich, then what did you need to tell me this at all? I would have known it. So the Gemara says, so therefore, ela afa gav de kashachet kinegat Pesach tini ein shochetin mishum de lo kaddish. So he says, so why is it that the Brisa says categorically that you can't shecht kachim kalim there, even if it's directly opposite the door? It's not because it's tzidei tzadim, because this is not a case of tzidei tzadim, this is just a case of tzad. So the fact that it says a categorical rule that you can't shecht there is not because it's disqualified because it's not Pesach HaMoed, it's disqualified because it's not Kadosh, right? So therefore, if it's not Kadosh, Tani Nami Ein Chayavin. So therefore, also, you should learn, you should change the language of the Braisa to say you're not Chayav for Tuma, because once I've proven from the case of opposite Pesach HaMoed that it's not because of the restriction of Tzidei Tzadim, so therefore it must be because it's not Kadosh. If it's not kadosh, you shouldn't be chayav midaraisa for going in betumah. So therefore, change the braisa, and we're good. So basically, where we've left off here is to say that the areas, that these rooms off the sides of the sides, meaning that you have the Pesach HaMoed, you have the sides, and then you have these rooms, that they are, you're allowed to eat kachay kadosh in there because the Torah added the word b'makom kadosh. You're not allowed to shech there. Not because it's not Pesach HaMoed, you're not allowed to shecht there. The way the Gemara is learning now is because it's not Kadosh. This was never, as Rashi says in the top Rashi, the second line, he says, "Lumiyuta hanichnas lishkos abnius chutzala upsuchas atocho." We're coming to exclude from Tuma the areas where you go into the rooms that open, are outside of the courtyard, but open to it. Shlonis kachu b'kedushas azara b'shirei mincha u'b'shir shal pegayim. So if those remember, when we learned in Shavuos, there was a mechanism for, if you wanted to expand the area of the Kodosh, that you would have to go, with shiarei mincha, you'd have to go with leftover mincha, and you walk together with the mincha. Shir shal pegayim, we said, was the, they would say, Yoshev b'seiser elyon, and they said called Shir Shal Pegayim either because it says what was it? He says Negel Yikra Be'Alecha was one version, and then the other one was I forgot what the other pasuk was. Kervava Elef Minecha, that pasuk. So they would say the Shir Shal Pegayim Ubeurim V'Tumim. They would walk around with Urim V'Tumim. Shemakancha Behenes Azara Ubehalicha Saviv. They would walk around the Azara. So basically, they're saying this area was never included in the Azara. So therefore, that's the reason you can't shecht kachim kalim, even if it's directly across from the Pesach HaMoed. And it's also the reason we're going to say that you're not chayav midaraisa for going in if you're tamei. But midrabanan, they said don't go in there when you're tamei because they were worried you might come to go into the Beis HaMikdash complex itself. So the Gemara says, "Ula achila lo ba'inan kinegra Pesach." So you were telling me that you could eat wherever you want in these side rooms, even if it's not kineged Pesach HaMoed. Va'tanya, but I'll ask you as follows: Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says this was the brisa we had yesterday and we discussed this morning when we started. Shnei pishpishin hayu bebeisach halifos govan shmona kidei lahachsher es hazara lachilas kachay kadoshim l'shchitas kachim kalim. So he says you have a brisa that says you had these two little openings in the beisach halifos, which opened up to those areas that were to the right and left of the heichal in that graph we were talking about, and it had the door was 8 amos in order to be machshir the azara for eating kachay kadoshim ulashchitas kachim kalim. So you see that in order to eat, so we had it already that opens up for shchitas kachim kalim, but it also says to eat kachim kalim. So what's the problem with that? Is that this implies that the only place you could eat kachim kalim is if you have a little door. That's why they needed to open the pishpesh in order so that people would have the little door so that they would able to not only shecht, but to eat. So what do you see? You see that eating, we learned from the pasuk that eating could be done even in these little lishkos. But it seems from this that in order to eat anywhere, it has to be within sight of Pesach HaMoed. So that's different. So the Gemara says, Amravina sami mikan achila. Just take out from here, achila, the reason they opened the pishpashim was not so that you could eat, it was just so that you could shecht kachim kalim. So the Gemara says, v'haksiv, but I'll ask you a question, because it's written in the pasuk in Vayikra that was discussing when they set up the Mishkan in the Midbar. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron v'Yalbanov, Moshe said to Aaron and his sons, Bashlu es habasar Pesach ol moed, that you should cook the meat at the opening of the ol moed, v'sham tochlu oso, and there you should eat it. So what do you see? So you see that you eat it in the area that's connected to Pesach Ol Moed. So you see that unlike what we were saying that you could eat in these side rooms, kind of the extra makom kadosh, you see from the Chanukas of the Mishkan that you had to eat it connected to Pesach Ol Moed. So the Gemara says Kadshe Shah Shani. You can't prove anything from what happened by the setting up the Mishkan because Rashi says Gzeres Hakasav Haisa B'Miluim. That it was Exeris HaKosov that during that process when they were doing the Miluin, Avokadshe Doros, Israbu Kedamar HaTorah Ripso Chatzeres Harbe. But as relates to Kedusha of all time going forward, in fact, you can eat in an area, even if it's not connected Pesach Ol Moed, even if it's not opposite an opening to the Ol Moed. Why? Because the Torah said, in addition to Ol Moed, it said Makom Kadosh, which we said was coming to add these little rooms that open up onto the side. Okay. Amr Rav Yitzchak bar Avudimi Minayin Ledam Shenifsal B'Shkia Sachamo. How do I know that blood becomes pusle at Shkia Sachamo? Meaning, and I really hope we'll have some time because there's some fascinating things to do with this sugya here. We'll see. But for the moment, we'll just take it at face value, at basic Gemara. How do you know that Dam? That once it's past Shkia Sachama, because we know the Zrika is supposed to happen the same day you shecht the carbon. Eating, you could do that following night. Emurim, you could do that following night. We're going to learn this all now. But how do I know that once Shkia passes, Dam is the carbon is pasul? So the Gemara says, Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, B'yom hakrivo as zivcho. So I'm sorry. So this is the Pasuk in Vayikra. It says, V'yom neder on edava zevach carbono, B'yom hakrivo as zivcho. That if he's bringing a nether and a dava on the day he brings his carbon yeachel and may be eaten umi macharas and the next day vahanosar mimeno yeachel and that which is left over from him may be eaten, meaning it's 2 days and one night, which is what's written by Shlomim. But you see, biyom hakrivo zivcho yeachel, that it says on the day you shecht your carbon you can eat it. Biyom shatozaveach atamakriv. So it says, the day you're makriv your carbon, you can eat it. So you see that the day, biyom shata zoveach at the makriv, that you have to do the hakrava is the zrika sadam. That you have to do that on the day you shecht it, biyom shiata zoveach iat the makriv. And on the day, if it's not the day you shechted it, you can't bring the blood. So therefore, carbonis get brought during the day. That day, you have to do zrika. If you don't do zrika, then the pasuk would tell you that it would be pasul. So the Gemara says, wait, how could you use that pasuk to tell you something about that you need to do zrika on the same day as you shecht the carbon? I need that pasuk to tell me it's primary halacha. Haimi ba'ile amibez legufe. So he says, what do I need that pasuk for? That's the pasuk that tells me in a case of shlamim that I'm allowed to eat it for 2 days and one night. So how can you tell me that pasuk is coming to tell me that every carbon, that the zrika needs to be done the same day as the shechita? That pasuk is needed to tell me that by shlamim you get 2 days and one night. So the Gemara says, im kain, if that's all it was coming to tell you, ne makra biyom zivcho yeachel. So on the day it gets shechted, you should eat it. Hakrivo lamali. What do I need a reference to hakrova? Because again, the pasuk says, in neder nedava zevach karbono, biyom hakrivo es zivcho yeachel. On the day that he's makriv his carbon, he should eat it. So why not instead just say that on the day of your carbon you should eat it? Why say on the day that you're makriv the carbon? Let it just say biyom zivcho yeachel hakrivo lamali. What do I need the reference to hakrova? Shema mina. So I see from there that it's talking about zrika. And it's telling me, that you're makrivit on a you do the zrika if it's the day you shechted it, and if it's not the day you shechted it, you can't do zrika. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's just take a step back for a second here, because Rashi said something important on Amud Aleph at the bottom, and it's important to understand the next Havamin in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, he says that we needed a pasuk to tell you that you cannot do the zrika after the day that you shech the carbon. But the question that Rashi deals with, and that's where Tosas, the very interesting Tosas that maybe we'll have time to get back to, the Rashi says, and Tosas are dealing with a question, which is, what did I need a pasuk to tell me that for? Because during the day I bring the carbon, I can do the zrika. Once it's nighttime, you're not allowed to do zrika at night. And then what's the problem? By the time the morning comes, then it's just like the emurim, that it's puzzle. So why did I need an extra pasuk to tell me that I need to do zrika during the day if I'm not allowed to do zrika at night, and by the next morning it's puzzle because it's leftover, just like the emurim? So Rashi said, because since we know that if you bring something up to the Mizbeach, emurim up to the Mizbeach, then even if it's the next morning, you could still bring the emurim. We learned that halacha, right? Once it's on the Mizbeach, it's excluded. So we would think that maybe Dam also, if you bring it up on the Mizbeach, you could do the Zrika the next day. Comes the Pasuk to tell you, you can't. So that's what Rashi contemplated that question. Okay, now, it's gonna make more sense. The Gemara is next Havamina. The Gemara says, V'dilma Hachi Kamar Rachmana. He says, you're telling me that they needed to tell you B'yom Hakrivo, in order, those were unnecessary words, and it told it to you in order to tell you that the hakrava, the zrika, needs to be on the same day as the shechita. So the Gemara is saying, no, maybe I'll tell you a different reason why it talked about hakrava, and it would tell you the following. V'dilma hachi kamar rachmana. Maybe this is what the pasuk was telling you. Ikarev dam ha'idna, that if you did the zrika today, the day you did the karban, nisacha basar ha'idna ulamachar. So he says that an ikar of dam lemachar nisachu basa lemachar uliyama uchra. So again, we're talking here about shlamim. So he's saying maybe the reason it mentioned hakrava is to tell you whatever day you do the dam, you have that day to eat it, that night and the next day. So the pasuk is telling you you have 2 days and a night. But maybe it's coming to tell you that when do you have 2 days and a night starts from whenever you do zrika. So maybe if I do the karban on Monday, I don't do the zrika. I do the zrika on Tuesday. The pasuk is telling me I have Tuesday night and Wednesday to eat the shlamim. Now, where does this havamina come from that I could do the zrika on Tuesday? So the answer is that's the same thing Rashi said before, because we would think that if you leave the blood overnight on the mizbeach, you could, even though you shechted it on Monday, you could do the zrika on Tuesday, and then the pasuk would be telling me I have Tuesday night and Wednesday day to eat the carbon. So maybe that's why it said it had a lashon hakrava. So the Gemara said, "In kein nemakra b'yom hakrivo yayachel zivcho lamali." He says, "Okay, so you're telling me you need the reference to hakrava to tell you that it's the zrika that kicks off the 2 days and one night. So then, fine, that's why you need the word hakrava. But what do you need zivcho? His shechting. It has nothing to do with shechting. So shma mina. So it's coming to tell you b'yom shata zavech ata makriva b'yom shiata zavech yata makrivo." He's saying, "No, it has the word hakrava to tell me that I need to do the zrika on the same day I'm makir of the carbon, and it has the word zaveach to tell you that you shouldn't think that it's telling you that the zrika starts the countdown, but rather it's the shechting, it's the day of shechting that starts the countdown. So that is this sugya here. Okay, itmar hamachashev laar shlishi chizkiyah makasher of Yochanan Amar Pasul. So he says as follows. What happens? Okay, so we're talking now about a shlamim. Now, shlamim, we've said, let's say I bring my carbon on Monday, I have Monday to eat it, Monday night, and Tuesday to eat it, right? Now, the question is, what happens if I have in mind, when I shech the carbon, or I do zrika, or whatever it is, I have in mind that I am going to eat it, the kohen has in mind that he's going to eat it on Tuesday night, which is, where it's supposed to be, the carbon is Monday, so you have Monday night or Tuesday day. He has in mind that he's going to eat it Tuesday night. So it's a machlokas between Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan on whether it's kosher or pasul. So what's the machlokas? Chizkiyah amar kosher, The halo intik l'sreifa. Why does he say it's kosher? Because it was not taken out l'sreifa. What does that mean? Because we're going to see in a minute that when, let's say someone brought a carbon Monday, they had Monday night, Tuesday day, and then they didn't eat it, so what is it? It's nosar. Nosar has to be burnt. When can you burn it? You can't burn it Tuesday night, you can only burn it Wednesday morning. So therefore, Chizkiyah is saying, Chizkiyah is saying, you were not over on pigul if you had in mind that you were gonna eat it, Tuesday night, because even though that's acher the zman, because you're supposed to have Monday night, Tuesday day, but since it's not yet removed from the category of a carbon to be burnt until Wednesday morning, because that's the first time you could burn it, so therefore Chizkiyah says if it's Tuesday night you have in mind that you're going to eat it, so then that's not pigul. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Pasol, Doha Idchile Me'achila. Rabbi Yochanan, which is the easier version to understand, is just it's nosar and it's pasol because you kept it after the time that you were supposed to have eaten it. So then, similarly, Ha'ochel La'ar Shlishi. What happens? Same thing, except we're not talking about pigul here. But what happened? A guy shechted a carbon on Monday. He had Monday night and Tuesday, and he didn't eat it, and then he ate it Tuesday night. So Chizki Amar Pater, Delo Intik L'Sreifa, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev, Doha Idchile Me'achila. So same Machlokas, they're just saying, if he actually ate it, Chizki would say that he's Pater, assuming he did it Beshoge, he doesn't have to bring a Chatas, and Rabbi Yochanan would say that he's Chayev, and he would have to bring a Chatas. Okay, so Gemara says, Tani Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan, we learned a Braisa like Rabbi Yochanan, Kachim Hanacholim Liyom Echad. Alright, so now this is, Rav Yochanan saying as follows. Like, let's say a chatos that's supposed to be eaten, the same day or that night. So, mechashvin bedaman mishetishka hachama. That if you have in mind to do the zrika after shkia, so let's say a guy shechts it on Monday, and he has in mind that he's gonna do the zrika Monday night, then that is pigol. Ubevsaran uve emurehan mishiala munashachar. And if he has in mind that he's gonna eat it, the meat or the emurim, or he's going to burn the emurim after the next morning, that's when he's chayav on pigol for that. So what happens when you have, let's say, shlamim, not a chata, so it's something that's eaten for 2 days and one night, so you bring it on Monday. So he says as follows, in terms of pigol, if you have in mind to do the zrika on Monday night, so then you're already chayav for pigol, because that's past this man, you're allowed to do the zriko. Uve emurehem, and with emurim, mishiyala manashachar. If he had in mind that he was gonna burn the emurim on Tuesday morning, then he's done pigol, because the zman for the emurim ended at the end of Monday night. Ubevsaran, we're talking about the meat, he had in mind to eat the meat, mishatishka hachama shel shnei yamim. Once it's Tuesday night, he had in mind that he was going to eat the meat, so then that's pigol. So what do you see? You see that as soon as it hits Tuesday night, it's pigol. It doesn't wait till Wednesday morning. So Chizkiyah was saying that pigol doesn't hit Tuesday night because it's not eligible for being burned then. You see from this price, so like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan. Yachu Yehu Nachalon La'ar Shlishi. So you might think that you might have a Havamina that you can eat a Shlamim, In the case we're talking about now, on Tuesday night. You shecht it Monday, you have Monday night, you have Tuesday day. You might think you could eat it Tuesday night. Why? V'dinhu, you say a kavachomer. Zvachim nechalon liyom echad, uzvachim nechalon l'shnei yomim. You have two kinds of zvachim. You have those that are eaten for one day and those that are eaten for 2 days. Ma zvachim nechalon liyom echad laila achreyem. Just like, let's say, a chatos, that you eat it, you shecht it on Monday, you're allowed to eat it Monday night. So I would think, okay, so for a carbon, just like a carbon that I have to eat on Monday, I can eat it also Monday night. So a carbon that I can eat Monday and Tuesday, I can eat it Tuesday night. So I would think that. Talmud Lomar, the Gemara says, V'hanosar ad yom ha-shlishi. Ba'od yom hu nechol, ve'ena nechol la'ar shlishi. He says, the Pasuk says, you have until the third day, which tells you that as long as it's the daytime, meaning on Tuesday, you can eat it. But once you reach the third day, which when does the third day start? Tuesday night. So then you can no longer eat it. Yachol yisaref miyad. Okay, so I might think, fine, if you can't eat it anymore Tuesday night, you should burn it Tuesday night. But then who? I'll tell you a kavachomer. So I have karbanas that are eaten for one day, and I have karbanas that are eaten for 2 days. So just like, let's say I shecht a karban on Monday, and it's eaten Monday and Monday night, and then let's say it doesn't get eaten, when does it get burned? Tuesday morning, right after the zman finished, that you were entitled to eat it. So I would tell you, so too with, let's say, a shlamim that's could be eaten on Monday and Tuesday, take a flal chila sreifa. I would tell you that just like by a one-day karban, you eat it, I'm sorry, you burn it right after this man passes, so to a two-day karban, and therefore you'll do it at night. So the Gemara says, no, tamalomer bar yom ha-shlishi ba-esi sareif, on the third day it gets burned, you burn it during the day, and you don't burn it at night. So basically what they're saying is as follows. The reason a one-day karban gets burnt right after you can't eat it anymore is because when is that? That's the morning. Because you shecht it Monday, you can eat it Monday day and Monday night. Tuesday morning, you can't eat it anymore. So you burn it right away because it's daytime. But if you end up with the 2 days and one night, so you shecht it Monday, you have Monday night and Tuesday. So when is the zman that you can't, that you can't eat it anymore is nighttime, Tuesday night. But it says, by yom hashlishi, on the third day, you should eat it. So we'll pick up on the Mishnah tomorrow because I just want to tell you something very interesting, very, very interesting things to do here. So I mentioned before that it talks about the Gemara wants to know, minayin ledam shenifso b'shkiyas hachama. How do you know that dam becomes pasul once it's shkiyah? And so what people learn from here, the Yoreim in particular, learns from here that shkiyas hachama is night. Nighttime starts at shkiyas hachama, right? Because you see min haTorah that the dam is pasul at that time. So shkia, what we think of shkia as like, and the way the Yoreim understands is that Ben HaShemashos comes before shkia. Okay? So therefore a suffix, and I'll tell you that's going to be very important in a minute. Tosas is later, and I'll tell you in a minute. So now, Tosas says, min haTorah you have until tseis. And Tosas says the only exception is dam zvachim, which starts from shkia, so that's a unique din by dam zvachim. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah says something very interesting. People want to know, the Mishnah Berurah says you should start Shabbos a half hour or 20 minutes early. We do that 18 minutes early. Some people think that you do that just so that you don't come to do malacha. The real reason you do that is because you're chayish to the view of the Yoreim. Because the Yoreim holds that Ben HaShemashos comes before shkia, 13 and a half minutes. So therefore, that's the reason that we're careful and that we try to do malacha not like that. The Chassam Sofer brings a very interesting question. What happens if you want to do a bris milah and the baby was born Friday in the minutes before shkia? So according to the Yoreim, that's already Shabbos. It's a suffix yom, and therefore you would not do. In other words, if it's a suffix, you don't do bris milah. You don't do the bris milah then because maybe it's not the eighth day. So the Chassam Sofer says, no, you would do the bris, even if the baby was born in that period right before Shkia. Why? Because he says, you see, we do malacha right up to that point. We don't paskin that way. In other words, even though we try that someone who's being careful should be chayish to the Yoreim, he says it would be a stira if we wouldn't do a bris because we do malacha in that period before Shabbos. But yet, okay, so now the interesting thing, so he says is as follows, that, now, in terms of dam zvachim, so you see from here that dam zvachim starts, even according to Tosos, immediately after shkia sachama. So this is very interesting, because that's the reason we daven marev right after shkia sachama, because marev is keneged the dam zvachim, that you bring the emurim, the evarim, and the pedarim. So therefore, you can daven marev as soon as shkia happens. But the halach of kriya shma is tseisach ochavim. So that's why we can daven marev right after shkia, but then you have to say Kriya Shma later, because the Zman of Mairiv is connected to the carbon, and you see the carbon switches over at Shkia. But nighttime, in terms of Kriya Shma, we have to make sure that you're after Tseis. Okay, and one last thing that's very interesting, there's a huge question about Mincha. Rabbeinu Yonah says, basically, that Mincha is keneged the carbon of the tamid. So therefore, you can only daven mincha to shkia, because the carbon ends is not good for chassidim. That it ends right there, at shkia. Now, the halacha though is that b'di'eved, they say you can daven after shkia up until tseis. You could daven mincha. Why? because the mincha that came with the carbon tamid, even if you understand that the carbon tamid can only come to shkia, the mincha that came with it could come afterwards. And so that's an interesting halacha. The Mishnah Berurah says you should try to be zahir to daven mincha before shkia. The others say, the Rosh Yosef brings, that really mincha is not keneged the carbon. That's just an asmachta. It's really keneged the avos. And therefore, among other reasons, in the Siddur Rav, they say also that you shouldn't be moche on someone who davens mincha well after shkia, before tzeis, because since it's a safek yom, safek laila, and mincha is only the rabbanon, so you'll go lakula. So they say even people who daven after well after shkia up till tzeis, that you shouldn't be moche in what they do. Okay, good Shabbos. The parsha thought is that this week's parsha is parsha shlach.
It's good for your wife.